welcome to Small Spark Theory. This podcast is designed as a collection of thoughts, ideas, and practical tips on using marginal gains to help your agency new business endeavors. Small Spark Theory is created and hosted by me, Lucy Mann of Gunpowder Consulting. Hello and welcome back. How are we all doing? I'm recording this on the 1st of October. Last week, our government, after telling us for the last few weeks to get back to the office and go out and eat out and help out and all those things, actually we need to get out of the office again. So I hope you're all managing to keep up with these curveballs that 2020 continues to throw our way. In this episode, I really wanted to think about client relationships. Now, in the past, we've talked about client development in a couple of episodes with Ian Johnston, my old agency CEO. We talked about the benefits of really rigorous client planning, and then we revisited it with Jim Hawker from 3Pipe when he talked about their approach to client development. And I was thinking about it in the context of this year, because back in April, when we were really still reeling from the shock of the pandemic and lockdown, Claire Beale wrote a really interesting article in Campaign about why client agency relationships were all the more important when things are really tough for everybody. Having a really close and trusted relationship just makes everything so much easier, particularly in difficult times. And she made some really good points in that article, which I'm going to link to in the show notes. But it made me think about some of the experiences that agencies have been having this year. And it's the strength of those client relationships that enables you to find a way through and to work together. Because let's face it, our clients will have been in different cases having to furlough staff, but still needing to get things done. So they're leaning much harder on their agencies. Budgets are really difficult. So it's been a really, really difficult year for everyone. Now, ordinarily, I tend to approach the process of building really solid strategic partnerships and really promoting advocacy in three key stages. So the first stage is that solid client planning and mapping that we talked about with Ian Johnston and with Jim Hawker. The second part is having a process for measuring the strength of those relationships. And that's some form of client satisfaction program or auditing program. And then the third is where you can really optimize the client journey. So think of all the touch points that your client would have with you from when they're a prospect all the way through to becoming a client, the onboarding, all the way through the project, how they interact with you and how you can optimize that experience. So those are the three pillars that I use to approach building stronger strategic partnerships. Today, I wanted to focus on the second pillar. So that's the client satisfaction audits. And to do that, I wanted to bring on board one of the clients that I've worked with before to tell us their experience of how that's worked. So, to talk about client relationships, today I wanted to invite to the podcast somebody really interesting. Alicia Linden is the founder of B2B growth consultancy Momentum and one of the real pioneers of what is now known as account-based marketing or ABM. I can honestly say Alicia really is a powerhouse in the agency world, as say having pioneered account-based marketing, but then earlier this year securing investment. And then I have just read today at our time of recording that there's been an acquisition announced today. So welcome, Alicia, and congratulations.
Good to be here. Thank you very much, Lucy.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really interested to talk to you about client relationships and auditing client relationships, because we worked together last year.
Yep, fond memories.
Yes, and worked on a lovely project together. So I wanted to sort of dig into that a little bit and talk to you about some of the processes and some of the learnings from that. But I wondered first if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about you and your career and about Momentum.
Yeah, sure. So I started life in a couple of corporates, very quickly realised I wasn't shaped for corporate life, and started my first company in 2002, a long time ago now, and built that to a mid-sized marketing agency, which we sold to a trade buyer in 2009, and went on to found this business, Momentum, just under 10 years ago. Eureka moment probably for me was a chance meeting with an ex-colleague, someone from my former corporate life, who shared his frustrations about how one of his sellers had gone on to have a meeting with a senior customer, a key account. And at the end of the meeting, he left a stack of brochures for the customer to look through, a bit like an old Argos catalogue. And I think the marketeer in me was pretty depressed, thinking a pile of brochures would soon be in the recycling bin. And the salesperson in me was pretty annoyed by this missed opportunity to have an interaction. But I think the real penny drop moment was really about thinking of it from the customer point of view. If a key supplier can't tell you where they're going to add value, who can? And that's really where we were born, as a firm with a mission to help or to stop sales marketing teams from talking about what they have to sell and to start joining the dots for their customers based on those buyer needs.
Okay. Obviously, the type of client that you work with is very specific. So they're large B2B organizations. Most of them offer a really strategic, often quite differentiated service. And you've maintained some very, very strong relationships over the years that you've been running Momentum. I'm interested how you've managed to maintain those relationships as you've scaled over time.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely not an easy thing to accomplish. I think we set out to have a key account strategy ourselves to really double down on a handful of accounts and those 10 as our customers are, they're almost like countries in their own right. So lots of politics, lots of moving parts, and a lot of change that's going on, as well as constant competition. So with these firms, they're getting pitched to, if you think about the likes of Adobe, Amazon, Microsoft, HSBC, that they're getting approached by lots of different types of firms all the time with the next new idea. So I think one of the biggest challenges for me has been, how do we stay at the forefront? How do we stay upstream? And if you can imagine, in these large organizations, that you've got some people that are there as lifers, and you've got other people who come in as change agents, and how we contend with those scenarios as our stakeholder landscape is forever changing, and keeping up with their world. It's very easy in our business to keep focusing on our own organization and everything we've got running. But if I think about our clients' businesses, they have, you know, hundreds of initiatives. They've got so much going on in terms of driving change in their own organization, that actually keeping that air cover and attention is definitely a challenge. I think how we've kept those relationships as we've scaled, we've invested in client experience. So what does it look like when a new client comes on board? How do we bring them into the business? How do we understand their business? We spend a lot of time looking at our clients' own market outside of the work we're doing, so that we can take them better and better ideas. Internally, we run a kind of dragon's den type activity where we're looking at new innovation that we haven't thought about that we can take to our clients, as well as really using that insight, almost an ABM approach, at the heart of everything we're doing, you know, understanding where those customers are heading, are things changing in their competitive landscape, finding ways to take them, not necessarily services to sell, but ways to strengthen that relationship. And I think the hard thing when you scale is how you've gone from a handful of people with a handful of key accounts. That's quite different to when you're 50, 60 people and you've got, you know, 15 or so key accounts with hundreds of relationships connected to them. Creating the same personality and brand experience, I think, becomes more and more critical, not just having a set of cultures or values that us as a business we're operating and living and breathing when we're interacting with clients, but keeping that consistent personality, the tone of voice, what they expect from us. And like, I guess in many ways, delivering on that same brand promise that we made 8, 9, 10 years ago to the one that we're making now as we're scaled. So I think the only way to maintain relationships, for me, it comes back to we are here as a partner to our clients to help them remove friction. And we work really hard to do that, whether it's, you know, investing in the relationship itself or bringing in objective or creative thinking and ideas that we're taking to them.
And I guess one of the challenges as you're scaling in that way with those really valuable relationships is that I guess your HR strategy has to be really, really tight to make sure that the people that you're bringing on board and the experience that they have is right so that they can deliver in the right way.
Yeah, I think there are two parts to it for sure. There's the a bit like Salesforce preach, the customer obsession, wanting to do the best work for our clients, having that high performance culture in our, and change in our DNA in a way that helps us address some of the challenges that our clients face. But the second part, which is probably less spoken about, is thinking about these large organizations. It's easy to get quite intimidated of this is a much bigger organization than we are. And I see it all the time where smaller firms are on the back foot, that kind of David and Goliath battle, if you like, where they're almost in service mode constantly. And if our data tells us or research tells us anything, it's that customers want ideas, they want vision, they want direction, they want their partners to be thinking about their business. And so making sure that anyone that is part of our organization, if we can live and breathe that and not just see a big logo and think, oh, it's a huge organization, I'm never going to get my arms around it, or feeling intimidated by the scale of that business.
Yeah. So last year, we worked together on auditing some of your key client relationships, which was a lovely experience for me to get to hear from your clients firsthand of their experience. I'm interested what the kind of key takeaways were for you from that experience.
I thought it was a great project and something that we've kept alive since you started it last year. I think the biggest thing for me was using it as a platform for our clients to express how they felt, what they were thinking in a neutral setting. And I think that is really important. You know, if they're talking to our people or if our clients are talking to me, I'll always have a bias, and all of our clients know how passionate I am about our business. So do take things very personally and I'm committed to the cause. So I think having that objective standpoint was probably the biggest takeaway for me, just getting a temperature gauge of how our clients are not just feeling, but how they're thinking and where we could add additional value in a way that they weren't having conversations with us previously. So I think having you go through that process, we were able to uncover a different type of insight to the research that we're already doing and the conversations that we were already having in the day-to-day, actually taking that more macro perspective and using it to help strengthen our relationships. So for me, it was definitely the neutral platform that you created and being able to draw out different types of insights.
Yeah, good. I'm wondering, because I know that it does take a brave client to, or a brave agency owner, to allow somebody external to come in and ask some probing questions, A, because they are, you know, those client relationships are your crown jewels. So having somebody come in and be involved in that relationship is, you know, can be a bit daunting. But also, I think it takes a level of bravery being exposed. And I think to some degree, particularly, you know, if I think about this year and what a difficult market it is at the moment, I think there's probably a tendency for a lot of agency owners to think, well, you know, as long as the client's still talking to us, then we don't really want to ask too many questions. So I think it takes a level of bravery for an agency owner to say, actually, let's really lift the lid and ask some questions and really find out if there are any problems. So I'm wondering what advice you would give to agency owners who are thinking maybe they'd like to look at client satisfaction in the whole, and what you've learned either from the way that you've done things before to the way that you're doing things now, and what advice you would give.
There's probably three tips that I would give for anyone looking to start a program like this. The first thing would be to start. I think there's a lot of, and we're probably a little bit guilty of this ourselves before we kick this off with you, is we spent lots of time kind of planning, strategizing. And I think being in motion, that doesn't give you any outcomes. There was nothing tangible in our planning effort. Actually, just taking the plunge, kicking off the program, however small you start, even if you're starting with a two or three of your friendly accounts, you don't have to do it with all of your customers. Or if you want to start with two or three customers that you're not necessarily seeing the same traction with, but not spending forever overthinking the program and actually just getting going would be probably my single biggest piece of advice. The second piece of advice I'd give is making sure you frame it. This is, if you're investing in your customers in this way, that shows huge willing. And this is all also about developing the relationship as well as your own firm. And having framed it with several of our clients when we kicked this off with you, Lucy, it was brilliant for them. And they could see that, you know, we're not here as an organization just to work on their work and kind of go from one year to the next. This is about our continuous improvement, how we keep adding value. And culturally as an organization, we have quite a restless, it's probably my fault, a restless culture of how do we keep improving, what's next, what are we missing, and being able to thirdly run this and actually take action as a result. And we were able to not just go off and tinker on four or five things in the background. We were able to communicate those to those individual clients and continue to do that now, where we're running advisory boards after the CSAT cycle, actually taking some of those findings and feedback and turning it into here's some tangible outcomes we've delivered since you gave us that feedback from the action that we've taken. So get going for sure. Don't hesitate. I think it's a no-brainer for me. Frame it in the right way and actually embrace it. It's amazing that you're doing something like this. And then thirdly, do something with the feedback.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad that the program is continuing to run and that you're seeing the results from that. That's really, really good to hear.
Yeah, we've bedded it into sort of our BAU. It's rather than seeing it as a once and done piece of activity. And I think lots of CSAT programs, you do a temperature gauge once a year, but all of your customers, particularly right now, are moving faster than they've ever moved. They've had to change and adapt to markets. And as you say, there's pressure in different pockets. And actually, the closer you can stay to customers, the better. And one of the things that points of feedback that from the data and the insights that you gathered was, how do we turn this into a rolling exercise? So we have taken that initial audit and program of work and turned it into something we can sustain and still keep personal and make sure that it's something that our clients begin to expect, and it's helping us just get that much closer to them.
Yeah, no, really good. And I think probably this year more than ever, when those really close relationships have never been more important. So fantastic, great work. I would love to know which book, Alicia, you would recommend to our listeners.
I was thinking about this when we talked about the idea of a podcast. And the first book that sprung to mind is a book that is a bit old now. It's a couple of years old, by Tasha Urich, called Insight. And I know that Daniel Goleman, probably rightly so, gets a lot of credit for popularizing things like emotional intelligence. But I think self-awareness, and part of the reason for even doing the Insight work with you on our customers in much the same way we did gather that data. I think this is a great book on personal self-awareness, not just your own values and how you see yourself, but externally how others see you.
Oh, great.
It's a fantastic book. Yeah, done amazing work. She's spent a lot of time looking at organization psychology.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I'm going to get a copy of that, and we will also have a copy for our listeners. So you know what to do. Join in the conversation on Twitter or on LinkedIn using hashtag SmallSparkTheory, and we will pick a winner and send a copy of Insight. Lastly, Alicia, I would love to know the best piece of advice that you've been given that you'd like to pass on.
Well, that's a tricky one. I feel like I'm hit with advice all the time and I'm just trying to decipher it constantly. But probably the one bit that sticks with me is, I can't even remember who told me this, but this is probably my first job or second job. Someone said to me, the hard way is the easy way. That feels so true today, where a lot of people are looking at, you know, almost a shortism view of actions they're taking, shortcuts that they can take. And I think it's also probably quite true when you think about cultivating key account relationships. It's hard, and you need discipline and focus, and there aren't shortcuts. And it's something that I actually apply to much of my life. Don't just take the easy way, and the shortcut will probably unravel. The hard way is probably the way that will get you there the fastest and in the best shape in the end.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Good advice. Alicia, so lovely to talk to you on here. And I'm so glad that you could take the time to do this, because I know between managing your team and your clients and your new acquisition and talking to your investors, I know you're a very busy lady. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It's so great to join you. Thanks for having me.
And yes, I will see you soon on the other side when we can all meet in person again.
See you soon. Look forward to it. Thanks, Lucy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye.
You have been listening to Small Spark Theory, brought to you by Gunpowder Consulting. Join in the conversation on Twitter at GunpowderTweets using the hashtag Small Spark Theory. This podcast is created and hosted by me, Lucy Mann, and edited and produced by Isabel Jarvis. Music is provided by Duke Deck, available at dukedeck.com. If you'd like to find out more about our online mentored new business courses, visit smallsparktheory.com, or for information about our consulting, visit gunpowderconsulting.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, head to iTunes and leave us a star.